following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
So happy to have you with us as Bears All Access begins the offseason edition of programs, and it is going to be a busy offseason for the Bears. Hi, everyone. Alongside Tom Thayer, as well as, well, Tom will be joining us momentarily, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. Zach Zaidman with you, and real excited about the direction of the Bears going forward. And Jim, when you look at what transpired, you look at the six wins and you say to yourself, man, any good football team should have more than six wins. And the Bears were one of 16 losing teams in the NFL this season. But there's a very different feeling heading into this offseason, Jim, than where we were a year ago at this time.
No, I agree. Good to be with you again, Zach. And as you mentioned, Tom Thayer will join us shortly here. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by the performance of the team. Some young players got a lot of experience for the Chicago Bears. Jay Cutler's coming off a career year. Really love how he responded to John Fox and his coaching style. And I love that staff. You can just tell that is a well-coached football team. When I watch them every week, the games they lost by one score, and everybody's critical, oh, John Fox should have taken the field goal the one game where he goes for it with about 10 minutes to go in the game. No, because he had to do that with this roster. So I love the schemes, both offensively and defensively, and just how well-coached this team was, because they were competitive. They were competitive even though they were up against it talent-wise against some much more talented teams. They were in a lot of games all the way to the end.
And you could tell that the players bought into what the coaches were selling, which is crucial to putting together the kind of team that you want going forward. We welcome in now the 85 Bear, Tom Thayer. And Tom, before we get to the football, I know you've seen the pictures of the new look of former Bears linebacker Brian Urlacher. And I'm just saying, you know, you're the only member of the team here on the show that can relate to kind of what Brian is going through. Have you thought about it?
I tell you, I was kind of thinking about, but when I did look at the still shot of me with the picture of that hairdo, it didn't have enough to cover my whole head. So I don't really think it would be the avenue that I would take right now. If I was 20 years younger, I would do it and probably get into the movies in Hollywood.
Well, Tom, I mean, much like Brian Urlacher, it's technically the off season now. You got 8 months to hibernate, and who knows? We may see in training camp with a different look. We look forward to it.
You know, Jim, quarterbacks never go bald, and that's the weird thing about it. It only affects offensive and defensive linemen, tight end, linebackers, and such. You know, and such. You always look at the quarterback and their pregame picture. They always got the nice combed hair, the product in it, and you know, still at this hefty age you're getting up to, you have a full head of hair that, you know, could inspire guys like Urlacher.
Oh, hey, man. Matthew Hasselbeck doesn't have hair. I mean, he's older than you, Tom, but he doesn't
have
hair.
I mean, we're talking about quarterbacks that are under 40.
Yeah.
We're not talking about after the helmet's worn the top of their hair off.
All right. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's take a look from your perspective, because you have a unique vantage point when it comes to looking at the Bears. You see all the practices from the offseason through the end of the year. You watch all the games. You talk to the coaches. You talk to the players. Can you sum up what you saw in 2015?
Well, you know, I just kind of – let's take a step back 1 year ago. And what were we thinking about the Bears 1 year ago and the position they were in after a 5-11 season? We saw no hope, no direction, no confidence, and no character. And all of a sudden, Coach Fox comes in, and through the classroom work, through the OTAs, through the work in the weight room, through the preseason practices, up until the last practice in training camp, you knew things were changing. Like I keep referring to the last training camp practice I saw this year was the most aggressive last training camp practice I've seen around here in 15 or 20 years. And I think that was the message that was sent here to the entire team. Last year was completely unacceptable from the effort to the outcomes. And yeah, and they did have a difficult in the first few weeks of the season because it was a difficult schedule. But then you saw the message starting to set in. in the resiliency of this team, in the willingness to fight for the four quarters and battle to the end. And then we saw the continuous strides that Jay Cutler was making. And, you know, during the broadcast, Zach, Jay Hilgenberg kept bringing it up. At the beginning of the season, Jay Cutler, there were a lot of question marks surrounding him. At the end of the season, he was the most important player, the most valuable player on the team. And that's a heck of a heck of a stride to make as a player and as a coaching staff that was working with Jay, both in Adam Gaines and Dow Loggins. You know, both of these guys really did a nice job of developing Jay's importance to the team, but also continue importance of the offensive line, the running back position, the inclusion of the tight ends and the receiving game, certainly. But it was really impressive what they were able to do. And I think they were able, even though they got beat the other day, they were able to kick off this offseason, I think, on a positive approach to the offseason, completely different where we were talking about 1 year ago.
Jim, when you look at this Bears offense, and specifically the fact that Cutler was able to have the kind of season that Tom talked about without Kevin White, with Alshon Jeffrey in and out of the lineup, no Eddie Royal for most of the season, Martellus Bennett banged up and not playing near the end of the year. There was even a little bit of a point in the season where Matt Forte wasn't able to play with the knee injury, constant flux on the offensive line. The fact that Cutler was able to have probably his best season, I'm not just going off the statistics, but the eye test, when you watch him as a Bear since the big trade with Denver, this was probably his best season. When you look ahead and you fast forward to what could be next year with some of the talent coming back from injury, can he get better? Can you continue to get better when you're the age that Cutler is as you continue to move up in your 30s?
Absolutely. I've always believed that. You know, your whole goal should be, I'm going to be a better quarterback tomorrow than I am today. He's going to learn a lot more about this new system of offense. That will remain, whether Adam Gase, the offense coordinator, is in Chicago or not. He's going to be much more, or he's going to be better at this scheme and what's expected and what to anticipate and things moving forward. So I think he can. You can grow. You're always getting better as a player, and you always want to be coached as a player. He's going to be coached up to learn this system even more.
Well, the other thing, the thing that stands out, Jim, and it's an important point that you make, if Adam Gase leaves and he's been interviewing, making the rounds, he's a very popular head coaching candidate, and there are a lot of openings around the NFL right now. Can you continue this development if you bring in someone new? Because even though if they take the same principles that Cutler was using this year, there is a difference in terms of the feel during a game, the calls that you make during a game when you bring in a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, well, I agree. Well, you're always tweaking things, and John Fox has a deep Rolodex now. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, that guy has put together a quality staff in Chicago for the 2015 season, and that guy has been around coaching so long. I could literally throw out about five offensive coordinators that could step in and do a hell of a job for the Bears right now. I mean, there's a guy that got released by the name of Ken Wisenhunt early in the season, the Tennessee Titans. That dude is called crazy plays, whether for Ben Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner, or Phillip Rivers. So if you think John Fox doesn't have a plan, I got something to tell you. He does, and he will execute it to its fullest potential. And I do think that about Jay Cutler. He can get better. I thought he was fantastic this year, poised, just how he handled himself. He was in control. He was a leader of that football team. And I think he knows that, and he can build off that and get even better as a football player.
What's the future of Matt Forte, and what's the future of Alshon Jeffrey? We discuss next with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, as we begin our first show of 2016, talking about the offseason, two big names as the Bears move into the offseason. One of them, Matt Forte, who's going to be a free agent. The other one is Alshon Jeffrey, who's going to be a free agent. Tom, we'll start with you. What do you think Matt Forte's future is going to be?
You know, I think they each have unique business decisions you have to make with either of them. Matt Forte is on the upper side of 30. Alshon Jeffrey is still in his mid-20s. And, you know, you have a positive performance out of the running backs like both Kadeem Carey, Jeremy Langford. Then you have Jaquez Rogers, who's on injured reserve. So I think, you know, it's a business decision that has to be made. And it's really an unfortunate business decision in the NFL that has to be made because Matt Forte is a quality player. He's a great leader. He's a great off-season workout guy that makes sure he's ready for the season. Even though all that is being said, you know, you're still 30-plus at the running back position. And then when you think of Alshon Jeffrey being in his mid-20s and he's got most of his NFL career ahead of him, but what's the reflection that he left on you this past season? And though coaches and the front office people and the personnel of, you know, trainers and everybody that's around him, they probably have a better indication of how you want to invest your money in the team because you have to have guys that want to be here. The last thing you want to do is you don't want to have guys you need to beg to want to be here. That's hard to get your season going in a positive direction. So when I look at a guy like Alshon and what he contributes on the field when he's healthy and what he would mean to this offense if they had Kevin White it would be an endless opportunity for him. I mean, the offense could explode to, you know, great proportions. And again, I love Matt Forte and everything he's done, but you really have to think that you're going to get younger at the running back position, and that's including Kadeem Carey and Jeremy Langford. So it's for me as a football fan, yeah, you'd like to see all these guys to play until the end of their career. But unfortunately for all of us, I moved on from the Bears, Jim moved on from the Bears, and that may be the same case for a guy like Matt Forte. Unfortunately, but that's the business of the game and the collective bargaining agreement of today.
And Jim, what Tom's talking about essentially is you can only have so much money allocated for certain position groups. And after a while, you start to take a look at the running back position. And when Forte was hurt with the knee injury, Jeremy Langford, Kadeem Carey, they played well. And I think they impressed the coaching staff. And then you look at the rest of the team. You can't just look at it in a vacuum and just focus in on Matt Forte. There are other areas of the team that need to be fixed. And money is going to be allocated for those positions. And I think some guys that they trust going forward at that position, when it comes to receiver, you just don't find guys like Alshon Jeffrey on the street. And it is very difficult to replace what he brings. We saw it during the season. I think you had a tremendous comparison of what the team was like when Alshon was on the field and what the team was like when Alshon was not available.
No, I agree. I think it was glaring, and agree with all the things you said about the running back position, because even when Matt Forte was healthy back on the field, at times it was tough to take Jeremy Langford off the field. The guy was making plays, and so I think that, you know, I think they want them both back. There's no doubt about that. Matt Forte is a great player. He's a three-down running back, all that, but it's got to be at the right price that Tom just mentioned. So you let him go out, test the open market, see what offers. If he gets an offer that blows the Chicago Bears out of the water where they can't compete, then probably Matt Forte will be moving on. But it would have to be at the right price for him to return. In terms of Alshon Jeffrey, I would say not one, but two receivers the Bears need to think about. We've been talking 3 years now, guys, about the three wide receiver package. It's the most utilized personnel grouping in the National Football League, and yet the Bears don't have it. They don't have it. Kevin White goes down to injury in training camp. And then, of course, Alshon Jeffrey hurt all season long. I agree with you. I like the two big guys on the outside. But I think the business decision for Alshon Jeffrey would be everybody saying, oh, franchise tag, if they can't get a long-term contract. Well, that's about $13 million. And you have other areas of your team that you need to develop. So I think, again, because of the injury history with Alshon, you use the transition tag. Hey, Alshon, go out. See what you're worth to other teams around the National Football League, and if it's at the right number that the Bears want to move forward with, then they could always match the offer that Alshon Jeffrey. He's very difficult, in my opinion, to calculate and put a dollar figure on. He is an impact player when he's out there, but then if you're able to get the type of money you're looking for at that position, then you start to focus on that slot receiver position.
Zach Saban.
Yeah, so I think Ryan Pace, he's going to have a plan, and it's going to be interesting. But good player. It's just unfortunate he could not be available for the Bears all season long.
Sorry for cutting you off, Jim. Zach Zabin, Jim Miller, and Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So when you flip ahead, one of the major criticisms of Jeffries, the fact that he could not stay healthy this season, it started with the calf injury right before the preseason opener, and that led to other injuries, the groin, the hamstring, and right. He was never quite right. Do you believe the Bears when they say that sports science can fix this, that if you convince Alshon to change some of the things that he does in terms of preventive maintenance, that you can get him on the field and make him a player that can be more durable throughout the course of a season?
You know, jumping in here, I think you can, because, you know, what you really need to do is you need the attitude from the player to be a positive attitude. And if a player's in the last year of his contract and the team's not negotiating with him, it really does a factor in his attitude and his willingness to go out there at less than 100%. But then when you reinvest in a player and you do give them that long-term deal, and then it is about their off-season work ethic that is really going to be the deciding factor in how healthy you are during the regular season. So sometimes it's the challenge of the attitude of the player that he is willing to do in the off season, which it takes to be 100% healthy during the season. And that was always going to be one of the trials of Alshon Jeffery. When they got rid of Brandon Marshall, was Alshon Jeffery going to have the attitude to be a leader in the off season as much as he will be during the season? And then when you had just the whole controversy about the contract, and then you initially had the pulled calf way early in the season throughout training camp in the early part of the season, you were never guaranteed that you were going to get a receiver of his size at 100% once you had a lower body injury that was a factor in the rest of the injuries that came along during the season. It's about your, again, I keep referring to it, it's about your attitude of the preparation of the off season that's going to get you through the regular season. So sports science, I know it can be involved, but if the person doesn't have the right motivation in the off season, are they doing what it takes in order to be 100% prepared for a 16-game trip down the NFL season?
And that's it's a great point, because your body is your resume. You're only as good as accountability and your dependability and your availability. I think we all know that. And Ryan Pace, being the savvy guy that he is, they can structure a contract, whether it's a transition tag, whether it's a long-term contract, whatever gets negotiated with Alshon, that motivates him to be on the field. You know, whether it's incentive-laden based, that this is where we need you to be, and that's going to motivate Alshon Jeffery to accomplish all the things that Tom just mentioned as well.
Got a lot of questions for you guys when we come back, including where should Kyle Long play next season, and what do the Bears do to get better from a defensive standpoint? That's next with Jim Miller and former Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin, and this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We've kind of been recapping the 2015 regular season and taking a look at what the Bears did right, what they did wrong, looking ahead to 2016 as well. We will have an opportunity to talk to you at 312-644-6767 in just a little bit, because I know you guys want to hear from Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, and so do I. So before we get to the phone calls, Tom, let's start with you, because this is what you did for a living throughout your entire NFL career, play on the offensive line. You were a guard. Prior to becoming a Bear, you were also a tackle and a center. You've done a little bit of everything. When you look at what Kyle Long was able to do in 2015, getting the call a week before the start of the regular season, hey, we're moving you, a Pro Bowl player at his position of right guard, we're moving you to tackle. When you consider that and the way this season transpired for him, how do you think he did?
I think he did a really good job. He did have some difficulty. It was a great learning experience for him. But there's not a lot of guys that would be able to do it within a four-day stretch before the first regular season game, and then going and play against a skilled defense like Green Bay and some skilled players like Matthews and like Julius Peppers and the rest of the guys, and get the job done. But I think the key to this of keeping him at right tackle is Charles Leno Jr. did such a good job at left tackle. And I think if you could develop these two offensive tackles, you could have bookends for hopefully for a 10-year period. And I think once you get to rehash the material, run it over in your head, watch it on tape, and then look at some of the critical things you need to work on, and then you have that luxury in the classroom with Coach Dave Magazoo and on the OTA field and then in the training camp, I think you could see Kyle get back to the Pro Bowl offensive lineman that he is. And the Bears are fortunate to have a guy like Kyle that can do that because there's not a lot of guys in the NFL. But it is such a difficult position. There's a lot of times you're on an island, which you have so much space by yourself, both to the inside and the outside, that you're responsible for, and it's very challenging. And rarely do you have that at offensive guard. If I didn't think Charles Leno Jr. had the future that he does at that position in the NFL, I might want to explore it. But I would really like to continue to cultivate the talents of Leno Jr. and then continue to grow and develop Kyle into a Pro Bowl offensive tackle, which I think he can be by next season.
Jim, when you look at the offensive line from a quarterback's vantage point, what do you think?
I think they made a lot of adjustments on the fly. You know, that even goes prior, you know, as Kyle Long kicks out the right tackle prior to the season. We always talk about getting the best five out there. There's no doubt about that. That's what the Bears tried to do. But all season long, they had to make adjustments. You know, Will Montgomery goes down so early, and then Slauson has the ankle injury. He's kicking over to center at times. Grassou gets thrown into the mix, which I think we all anticipated at that point. So overall, I think they handled all the adjustments pretty well. Because at the end of the day, you know, for every team is going to go through that injury bug where you're facing that adversity. And I think if you make it a big deal, it's a big deal. The Bears did not make it a big deal, and they continued to press forward, and guys developed like Kyle Long. And, you know, I love him at guard because what do we know? He's a Pro Bowler. But it makes sense to keep him at right tackle because normally that's your power running side, is your right side of your offensive line. It's normally where you're facing the strong side linebacker, and Kyle Long is up for the challenge. That guy's a mauler. I mean, that's why he was so good at the right guard position, because you're drive blocking and firing off the ball. So it makes sense to kick him out the right tackle, and he's such a good athlete, he's going to get better. So I've got no qualms on this offensive line. They made a commitment to run the game or to run the football. With all the adjustments, they did it. They did it, and they ran the football very effectively in 2015.
See, this is the thing that stands out to me. If you ask yourself this question, do you believe that Kyle Long can be a Pro Bowl player at tackle? I think we all would agree, yes, given the opportunity to spend an entire offseason studying how to play the position, not just from a physical standpoint, but also a mental standpoint. I'm talking about the temperament that you need. You got to play a little bit slower playing the position of tackle. And the other thing is, I think you need, and Tom, you can expand on this, you need a greater understanding of football, meaning you can see what the defense is doing when you're a tackle, and you have to understand that, and it can benefit you where that rush is coming from when you're on the outside.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, you have to know how you work with the bodies to the right of you, which could be a tight end, an H-back, or a running back, or the bodies to the left of you that's most likely going to be an offensive guard and sometimes a center. And I think the more that you can develop at that position, I think the more you understand about offensive line play as a whole, because you have the experience at right tackle. And one of the reasons I think the Bears are really fortunate to have a guy like Kyle, because if, say, hypothetically, say you have a guy like Teo Fabaluje come in here and really have a strong training camp, and all of a sudden you go, wow, this guy looks like he could play right tackle. Going back to the days of Bruce Matthews, Bruce Matthews was such a great offensive lineman that you could put him anywhere where the offensive line needed him the most. If they had a glaring weakness at a position, they could change him. So, again, you still have to investigate some other options and opportunities out there up and down the line of scrimmage. And they're fortunate to have a guy like Kyle that maybe you can plug him in 3 to 5, 6 days before the start of the season or a game, and he could play the position efficiently. But again, I think that's one of the great things that this coaching staff did throughout training camp last year was play everybody at every position to get a look at what they could do, what they had to do if they were in a position of a backup, and how they could lend their skills to this team. And we even saw that example out of one of the great leaders of the team in Jermon Bushrod. Leno Jr. took over for him at that left tackle position. Jermon still stayed an active part of the offensive line. He was that sixth offensive lineman on the right and the left side, and he came in with a great attitude that he wasn't a distraction in the meeting room. I think he was an asset in the meeting room to guys like Kyle and Charles Leno and who was ever playing offensive line.
And that's something that can't be forgotten. When you look at this coaching staff and also Ryan Pace and the front office, when they go into this offseason, they know the weaknesses and strengths of every single player, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that they didn't know a year ago at this time. And I think that helps you build a football team going forward in a much faster fashion than they were able to do when they initially took over. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 312-644-6767. And we will also break down the Bears defense. That's next with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin, Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access rolls on. Usually we have the Sports Authority Player of the Week, and we pick a player based on the game before. But I feel like we need to do a Sports Authority Player of the Year, and it's time to decide on that Player of the Year, brought to you by Sports Authority. And Jim, Tom always likes me to pick the answer that isn't as obvious as all the others. But the reality is, for me, I'm going with the obvious answer here. I think when you look at what was being said about Jay Cutler a year ago at this time, when you didn't even know if he would be a member of the organization, to think of what he was able to do, and he didn't have his best weapons around him. He had to learn a new offense. He had to adjust and change the way he plays fundamentally a little bit. How do you not make him the Sports Authority Player of the Year?
No, I agree. I think he was fantastic. You know, I just mentioned the poise he displayed at the line of scrimmage. There just was never any panic with him. And it's so interesting because I remember, you know, the previous staff wanted to take the pressure off of Jay Cutler. You know, when you look at Mark Trestman and Emery, it's about getting pieces around Jay Cutler, and it's going to take pressure off him, and he'll react a lot better. That never happens in the NFL. There is always pressure on that position. And John Fox took the opposite approach. We're going to put as much pressure on this quarterback that we can, and we're going to see how he reacts. And if he can handle adversity, when your first-round draft pick goes down, or Alshon Jeffrey's not playing, Matt Forte's not playing in the backfield, you got injuries on your offensive line, your tight end goes to IR. Jay, we need you to get these guys going. That's your job. There's going to be pressure every week, Jay. And he came out the other side, and he performed. And he was fantastic in doing it. And he should be hungry right now like a drug. I mean, because he hasn't, if he can do that with what happened in 2015, there are heights and greater heights that he can reach when some good playmakers do get placed around Jay Cutler. He's ready for it. There's plenty of areas that he can get better and new heights that he can achieve as a quarterback. You know, it's just getting started for him, as far as I'm concerned. He should feel excited about what he accomplished and where he can go. So I agree with you. Jay Cutler, definitely Player of the Year.
Yeah, you know, Jim, I agree with you too. I think there's probably no more important player in the locker room than Jay this year, because even if he had a negative play, he went right to the sideline with a positive attitude. And I think that's one of the key changes for Jay in his relationship with Adam Gase and Dow Loggins and stuff. And that's the way that was important for him in the game. If there's any one guy that I would like to see have another year like he had this year, it would probably be Zach Miller. Because when Martellus Bennett went down, Zach Miller increased his requirements. He was an on-the-line point of attack tight end. He was a backside tight end. He was an H-back. He was a fullback. He lined up as a wide receiver. We saw him take a quick pass at the line of scrimmage and run 70-plus yards, I think it was, against the St. Louis Rams. And if there's any one guy that you're pulling for that's a little outside the box, to me going into next year, it's going to be the continued accomplishments of Zach Miller, looking to his struggles that he had early in his career and then what he was able to capitalize because he was given the opportunity. That's what you have to look at sometimes, because that's what a lot of players this year were able to do with the Bears. They were capitalizing on an opportunity given them. Everybody from Adrian Amos to Harold or Jane or Corte to even Lamar Houston and Willie Young. All these guys that had a lot of challenges in front of them were able to take advantage of their opportunities.
But you heard Ryan Pace say the Bears need playmakers, playmakers, and more playmakers. And obviously,
every team does.
Yes. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, if you're looking to build up this defense for 2016, Jim, I'll start with you. Where do you target the rebuild process on the Bears defense?
Well, I still think, you know, the game is won in the trenches. I really believe that. You know, think of Vic Fangio when he arrived in Chicago. And, you know, even coming out of training camp, who is your best offensive lineman? And it was Jeremiah Ratliff. And he goes, I don't have any others yet. Eddie Goldman proved to be that guy. I think he can be a building block moving forward. I don't think there are any guarantees of other guys on the DI. I think they've done some good things when you look at the impact of Jarvis Jenkins. But the other young guys got hurt when you look at Ego. So I think D-line, it starts there. I think nickel corner, that was a revolving door. Bryce Callahan did some good things as the year went along, in my opinion. The safety spot, safety position is an area that you need impact playmakers like a Tyrann Mathieu of Arizona. Look how that guy performed in his versatility. I think Amos did some good things, but the injury to roll, and we had some different players in there. And, of course, you're going to say the inside backer position. That was a revolving door. You know, towards the end of the season, you saw Anderson and Timu. I mean, that's a college free agent out there as your leading tackler. So, you know, there are a lot of positions that are still up in the air, in my opinion, defensively.
You know, Jim, if you could find me somewhere out there, can you find me a Navarro Bowman or a Luke Kuechly? I would start
right
with that. And I mean, I love those two guys, what they do for the defense as a whole, making sure all 11 guys are in the right position, including themselves. And, you know, you need the continuous development of the defensive line. And I think Coach Jay Rogers did a nice job this year, the defensive line coach, of getting a performance out of continuously rotating group of guys in there once they lost Ego Ferguson and other guys out there. But I still need that big interior linebacker that's going to run sideline to sideline and run this Vic Fangio defense like we've seen these other linebackers that have come across Fangio throughout his coaching career.
Well, it's interesting, whether it's addressed through the draft. I mean, there's going to be some guys available in free agency that these coaches know very well. Will Hoyt's a free agent out in San Francisco who Vic knows well. And look at Denver. Denver, that when you look at Brandon Marshall and Danny Trevathan, those guys are going to be free agents who John Fox knows very well. And look at how good that Denver defense is.
312-644-6767, the number to talk football with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin, Bears All Access. Let's begin the conversation with Will on the South Side. Will, good evening. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, how's it going, Zach?
Great. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'd like to say hello to Tom and Jim. You guys are great analysts, man. Very great show. What's on my mind is Jeffries, man. He's a talent. But I don't think he's helping the Bears because I don't think his heart's into it. You know, I know an injury is an injury, but if he doesn't want to be here, I cut him loose. I look elsewhere.
Jim, you address that one first.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know of any indications that he wouldn't want to be a Chicago Bear. I mean, he's had a great success when you look at a couple of thousand-yard season. Yes, this one was injury-riddled, and plus he knows he's with a good quarterback in Jay Cutler, who's going to get even better, and I think a pretty darn good head coach that's taken a couple teams to Super Bowls. So I don't think there are any indications from that standpoint by Alshon Jeffery. It's just about the compensation. What is he worth? What is the value of Alshon? Again, when he's healthy, he's an impactful player. There is no doubt about that. But again, your availability on game day is paramount. And again, you can structure a contract that will motivate him for pay to be on the field and take care of his body the way he needs to as a professional.
And saying that his heart isn't into it, I think, is just nonsense.
Right.
Because if you watch this guy when he's on the field, he cares. He has a desire to be great. He just has to do the things that he needs to do away from football to make sure that when he's playing football, his body holds up as much as it can playing this rigorous game. But the numbers are through the roof when he's on the field, and the way defenses attack the Bears is completely different when he's on the field, and it opens things up for everybody else. You saw it when he was out there. 312-644-6767. We continue with Greg in Evanston. Hi, Greg. You're on Bears All Access.
Hi, guys. Love the show. Jim, this one's for you. There's a lot of talk about how Jay has had to put up with a new offensive coordinator very frequently. As a quarterback, how difficult is it? I mean, your receivers run the same routes. What are the real challenges of having a new offensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, because systems change. You know, I always bring this up, like when he was out with Mike Shanahan in Denver, that's a West Coast system, and there weren't a lot of audibles in Mike Shanahan. You know, formationally, he could dictate how a defense is going to line up. So it's really essentially a go play up there at the line of scrimmage. So now you see how offenses has changed. We're really, literally, the playbook is at your fingertips at the line of scrimmage. You got a lot of check with me's where it's one play, or you could check to a different play. There's much more flexibility at the line of scrimmage. So now when you look at, you know, he came to the Bears with Ron Turner, and then it switches over to Mike Martz, who runs the numbering system, which is a completely different system verbiage-wise. Plus your coach, a new coach, is probably coaching things differently, and this is what he believes in philosophy-wise, whether it's calling timeouts, attacking situations, those type of things. So it has been a revolving door, and Jay really hasn't settled in one certain system. And you can't just assume, because a player is traded for big money and draft picks, that you can't assume that he knows everything just because he's played at the professional level. What comes first, the coach or the player? Definitely the coach, because it's the coach that has to tell the player how he wants it done and how he wants it executed out on the field. That's just my opinion.
You're right, and the thing that stands out to me about what Adam Gase did, he's the first offensive coordinator that Cutler has had with the Bears that didn't try to fit Cutler into that coordinator system, but rather looked at, here's what Jay does well, this is what the opponent does well that week, this is what I've got, let's make it work. And there wasn't a system, there was just, on a week-to-week basis, this is what it was going to take to win. And I think that's, if Adam Gase does go somewhere else, that's what you're going to miss, and that's what John Fox is going to try and replace.
Real quick, Zach, I think they're going to keep the system the same. They're going to introduce this system to the new offensive coordinator. It won't be an offensive coordinator bringing in a new system. So the terminology that these guys try to master this year, hopefully that will be the same going into the beginnings of OTA next year.
And that is why John Fox said, when asked if Gase leaves, he said, it's the Bears system. It's not just Adam Gase's system. We'll be back with more of your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Thayer, Miller, Zaidman, Bears All Access rolls on. Bears All Access continues, our first show in 2016, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman, happy to have you aboard. We've been breaking down the 2015 Bears and looking ahead to 2016 and taking your phone calls as well at 312-644-6767. Back out to the phones we go. David in Schaumburg, let's talk some Bears on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority.
Hi, guys. How you doing? I had a question concerning Robert Ndichi. I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly. The defensive lineman in Ole Miss, the ones that compared to Sue, they said that his stock has been dropping because of problems with his brothers or whatever influencing him. I mean, what do you think of that guy as a player?
Oh, well, I think, one, he's a very athletic defensive lineman. I mean, so much so, at times he played fullback. I believe he ran a toss play for a 30-yard touchdown, the one tape that I saw on Robert Ndichi. But like you said, there's more to it than just your athletic ability. It's your character, your off-the-field conduct, how you, just how you conduct yourself as an individual. And there's going to be a lot of discussion about Robert Ndichi. So, he obviously has some growing up to do. He's had some incidents that has given him a negative, put him in a negative light so to speak. And Robert will have the opportunity to answer those questions to every owner, to every general manager, to every coaching staff in the National Football League. He's a very talented young man. Now, is it a youthful indiscretion, or is it something he can learn from and grow from moving forward? I think all those will be answered by Robert Kimdichie at the right time.
And these are things that we can't answer right now because we don't have access to the information that Jim was talking about. And the other thing that stands out, and Tom, you can expand on this, the other thing that stands out to me about this regime that the Bears now have in place, and John Fox has talked about it all the time, he wants guys that truly love football, where football is number one, two, and three in terms of the priorities in your life.
Well, and he says, you know, talent is only part of it because you have to have that desire. You have to have that character. And when you look at a young college guy and he's being compared to an NFL pro, there's such a wide margin between college and NFL. Whenever you come into college, you're going to play against maybe one or two to three offensive line caliber, NFL caliber offensive linemen throughout your college career. When you come into the NFL, you're going to practice against them every day. You're going to play against them every Sunday. And that's going to be the deciding factor because we've seen a lot of talent come out of big schools with huge comparisons and Heisman trophies in their pocket that haven't been able to do anything in the NFL. So it's always nice to be able to compare a guy because maybe he has the traits or looks like a guy in the NFL, but to say he could be comparable to a guy like Ndamukong Suh or anybody that you want to put him up against, it's a little premature for that. So give me a guy that comes in and goes through the struggles of his rookie season, see if he can overcome hitting the rookie wall, and see what his contributions are. You look at a guy like Eddie Goldman, where he was drafted, he gave you as much out of the defensive lineman as a rookie than you could possibly ask for. And I think his future is unlimited. But again, you know, he knows that he has a ways to go, but he also earned and learned an awful lot this season.
You know, you look at Jadeveon Clowney. Remember, guys, when he was coming up through the whole draft car wash, if you will, where everyone was analyzing every little part about this guy, and it looked like a can't-miss prospect. For an entire year, people thought this guy was a can't-miss prospect. And I remember what Tom would say, do we know if this guy truly loves football? Do we know if this guy truly is going to be great? And that's a terrific example in terms of what you were talking about.
Well, you know, the thing about it, he was on the cover of every newspaper because he made one play in a bowl game. And yet, it was a blow-up play, but the constant replaying of that one play elevated him in the eyes of everybody. If you're a non-football fan and you see a guy pull off that play, oh my God, he must be the greatest defensive lineman on the face of the earth. And that's just not the case. And I think he's probably been more of a disappointment to the Houston Texans than he has been living up to the number one pick in the NFL draft. So I think you got to be really careful when these guys get elevated to that number one spot because it is. And again, like I said, I hate repeating myself, but I'm going to do it again. It's about their dedication to the game in the offseason that get them prepared for the season.
And Jim, another thing that I think is exciting about the offseason, it also can be a little scary, but to me what's exciting is we know what the Bears need this offseason. We just don't know how they're going to go about getting it and what's going to come through free agency, what's going to come via the draft. And when it comes to the draft, and we'll be talking about this throughout the entire offseason, including when we're down in Indianapolis for the scouting combine. When it comes to the draft, we don't know who's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's one of those weird years where it could go in a variety of different directions.
Well, it's always quarterback driven. We saw that last year with Winston and Mariota, and we'll see where this group of quarterbacks shake out and where things could fall. But I agree with you. It's different this year because, you know, as Tom pointed out earlier and you pointed out earlier, they know what their needs are now. You know, last year they came in and they were mixing and matching. Hey, is Shay McClellan, is he an outside backer? Is he an inside backer? What's Houston? What's Willie Young going to be? You know, and they were getting the feel and trying guys at different positions. And now I think they have all those answers and kind of really generally know what their needs are, where they can target specific positions of what they need moving forward. It will be about the draft picks. It will be about free agents. And there's plenty of money that the Bears have to go out and make an impact for those talented, impactful players that Ryan Pace was talking about.
Sure.
Zach,
yes.
You know, one thing about it, I still think Pernell McPhee is the most important returning player the Bears have, because from your post-game interview with him after the last game to everything that he said throughout the season, he shows great leadership, and he shows interest in bringing his other teammates down that road with him to change the culture and the attitude of the defense in their accomplishments and what he's going to try to bring along. So, you know, you can talk about who they're going to bring in and draft. I still think Pernell McPhee is a really important leader of the future of the offseason of this football team.
I'll tell you what McPhee said next. Also, we'll get Tom and Jim's offseason predictions for the Bears when we come back on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final 30 seconds of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Before we say goodbye, so I spoke to Pernell McPhee after the game against the Lions. He talked about the team needing to come together and making sure that guys are comfortable with each other away from the football field, meaning hanging out more and doing all those things. So that way, when they're on the field, you don't have any hesitation with talking to guys and communicating in a certain way or whatever way you need to get the results. Guys, off-season predictions, we'll start with you, Tom, and then we'll go to Jim.
You know, I just think it's, you know, finding that those missing pieces. It's about the evaluation of the entire coaching staff. Where do they feel their biggest need is? But I think it's about drafting the best available athlete, because, Zach, there isn't only one hole that needs to be filled. They need to develop depth. They need to develop young guys, and they have to get some certain position players that are going to come in here and be contributors immediately, whether it's hitting on a free agent or a draft choice like Adrian Amos.
Jim?
I think we've seen with this staff, they react really quickly. There's a problem at tackle. We're moving Kyle Long out there. How about defensively? We tried it with Jared Allen. Let's move on, cut our losses, trade him, and we'll work the other guys in there. So I think they'll be very reactive. And what Tom said, create as much competition as you can at every position. That's where you get the depth and all the things that Tom is talking about.
Great.
A lot of competition, and it will continue to roll through there.
Jim, great stuff. Tom, great stuff. We'll talk to you again next week. Bears All Access a week from now, right here, 6 o'clock on The Score, Wednesdays. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.